This is Evan Dietrich Smith, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football, and we're getting ready for the NFL draft today. What we're doing to kick off the show, we're checking in from the site of the East-West Shrine game in Tampa/St. Petersburg, Florida. That's where General Manager Ted Thompson is this week. So to get the scoop on the East-West Shrine game, we have Pigskin Paul Guillemette of PigskinPaul.com and Cheesehead TV's own Pro Football Draft Preview. Paul, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Brian. It's chilly in Florida this morning.
It's chilly in Wisconsin, too, but I imagine that's a rather unusual case for Florida.
Yeah, this is one of our two or three where you wonderful, friendly folks up in the upper Midwest send about two or three cold fronts in a row down this direction. And so people were scurrying last night because there was a frost/freeze warning on. So people were scrambling around, covering up some of their bushes and plants outside. Not yours truly. I just don't bother with those things.
Well, I know what warms me up is talking about football a little bit. And you're there, Paul, at the site of the East-West Shrine game this week. And I've got plenty to ask you about because I know Ted Thompson's there and the, you know, many Packers scouts are there checking out this new class of prospects. And of course, I want to start off today with kind of a report that came out yesterday. Ted Thompson talking to Michigan State linebacker Max Bulla, the guy who was suspended for the Rose Bowl. I have to imagine in my mind when Ted Thompson, and this report comes from WalterFootball.com, that he was the two were observed speaking together, that Ted wanted to get the inside scoop on Max Bulla. Do you think that's probably the case?
I would imagine so, Brian. Yeah, they... I've never seen Ted do this before. He has plenty of contact with the players when he's at this game and at the Senior Bowl. But I personally, in 8 years of covering both events as a media representative, I have never seen Ted Thompson immediately after a practice go out on the field and actually speak for 5 to 10 minutes with a specific player. It's been incredibly quiet and confidential down here relative to Bulla's suspension and what it was all about. He has still said nothing, and they have encouraged the media to just not pick up the subject because it's not going to be addressed. So part of me wonders if perhaps there might have been a request made of Ted by the Bulla family to talk with Max for a few minutes, because they know not only is the Bulla family a legacy at Michigan State, they have some history going back to the Green Bay Packers day. And I didn't look it up, so you correct me, Brian, because you're a walking encyclopedia on some of this stuff. was not Hank Bulla part of Lindy Infante's coaching staff back in the day?
You know, I'm going to Google it right now, and I'm going to let you keep talking, Paul, while I look this up, but that does sound familiar.
Yeah, I know he was with the Packers defense, and I want to say he was the coordinator for a couple of seasons, and I think it was in the Infante regime. Who knows? It could have been the Greg, whatever. There is history with the Bulla family and the Green Bay Packers organization. So I'm not sure if, again, somebody asked Ted to go out and say hi and, you know, give the boy an opinion on something, or if Ted wanted to literally get a little info for himself, because in my mind, a Big Ten inside/middle linebacker like Max Bulla certainly should have some interest to the Green Bay Packers as their roster is currently constructed, I think the team could certainly use a big, burly, young, athletic, I think I've got everything in that sentence, inside linebacker like Max Muller. Now, I don't know if this trickled back to you yet. The other, Muller has developed into quite the little story this week, because we don't have any of the big-name glamour quarterbacks down here, at least from a pro potential standpoint. But when Bulla weighed in Monday morning, and it took us a while to get the information. They didn't allow the media in, but you know how that goes. Somebody always knows somebody, and sooner or later we find out everything. Max Bulla weighed in at 267 pounds, which is roughly 20 pounds above his listed playing weight. So, A, I have a suspicion that Max Bulla probably played at 250-plus this past season for the Spartans, but I would also take a guess that once he got sent back from the bowl game, he didn't starve himself and live in the weight room. He must have gone on some pizza binges with his buddies back on the campus.
That is really heavy for an inside linebacker in the NFL, I would say, for the college game, for that matter, as well. Do you think this had anything to do with the suspension, this weight gain, possibly?
Yeah, I'm serious because I'm guessing. You know, if you think about it, they didn't get into detail, but I think it's entirely possible that part of this, you know, being sent back from the bowl game was also that he was, you know, banned or barred from the team training facilities and weight room, perhaps. So, like I said, I'm serious. You know, he had almost 3 weeks away from the team before he came down here. And I have to believe that at his performance camp, they don't see 267 as his ideal weight. However, I do want to throw this in, Brian. He did not look fat or slow at that weight during the practice sessions. So it's not as if the kid ballooned up and he can't get his pants on and he can't run from one end zone to the other. He was quite active in drill work and in 11-on-11s. He had an interception on Wednesday afternoon during 11-on-11. And I tell you what, he looks for all the world when he takes off his helmet. He looks to me for all the world like Brian Urlacher. And out on the field, he looks to me somewhere in between Brian Urlacher and A.J. Hawk. So I would have to think that, assuming, and nobody said he is, Max Muller is not a first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. Whether he weighs 245 or 265, he's not a first-rounder. And I would doubt that he is a second rounder with all the glamour position underclassmen that came out. I would have to think, Brian, personally, as somebody who does this as a pretty serious hobby and a Packer fan at heart, I'd have to believe that the Green Bay Packers, with their lack of size and their lack of depth at inside linebacker, if Max Bull is out there in the third round, I would have to think that they would do an awful lot of due diligence to decide whether or not he could be a Packer draft pick in the third or fourth round.
I did look this up here, and it comes from Wikipedia, so take that with a grain of salt, but I don't think anybody's lying on here about Hank Bull on Wikipedia. He actually played for the Packers briefly in the 1950s, was a teammate of Forrest Gregg, and then it was Gregg who actually asked him later on in 1984 to be the defensive coordinator for the Packers. So there's the connection. But
okay.
just briefly here, Paul, I want to talk about some other players, but I'm sure the worry here is that Max Bulla is going to slow down at the NFL level like we saw out of A.J. Hawk and once he reached the NFL.
Right. Without a doubt. And as I said, he is not an elite first-round prospect for anybody, for any team in the NFL. But again, given the Packers' 3-4 scheme where the linebacker position, obviously, is critical to the success of that kind of scheme, they sure, in my opinion, if I'm going to give a partial hall pass to Dom Capers on what happened last year when the defense fell apart, I will, in his defense, say that considering how important that position is, he didn't exactly have, by the time a couple of injuries struck and they cut a few people, he didn't exactly have a cupboard full of excellent talent to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it should be a point of emphasis for the Green Bay Packers come draft time.
Yeah, I think so too. It's a matter of whether they have the guts to take a Brad Jones out of the starting lineup, though. I'm not sure they have that after paying him so much money. We'll see. Another player I want to ask you about here, Paul, your counterpart down there, or a fellow media member, Charlie Campbell of WalterFootball.com. I don't know if he's got eagle eyes or what. He also observed Ted Thompson talking to North Carolina safety Trey Boston. And I guess, you know, talking simply doesn't mean anything. But, you know, given that the Packers need a safety, tell me about Trey Boston a little bit.
Well, I think Trey Boston at this point would have to be considered one of the top 10 safety prospects in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the bad news. I'm going to digress from this. Here's the bad news, and I know, you know, you analyze the defensive backfield pretty heavily when we get ready to put the draft guide together. And unfortunately for the Packers and seemingly quite a few other NFL teams that need safety help, this is not going to be a good draft for safeties. And Trey Boston, again, because of the overall lack of a superior player at the safety position and a lack of overall depth at the safety position, it immediately elevates Trey Boston. And I can definitely see where Ted Thompson would give some consideration. The kid's not ideal size for NFL safety, as you well know, but I don't know if you had time to see the official numbers that finally got snuck out to the media this past week. But Trey Boston is 5'11" and 5'8" and only 198 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he can't play safety, but let's face it, you and I both know it, on that magic chart, which Ted seems to subscribe to most of the time, that is not going to fall in the range of exactly what they're looking for. But having said all that, I have to believe that interest or that meeting is sincere, and I have to believe that one pick in the draft somewhere, maybe Saturday, and one or two undrafted rookie free agents, I think Boston's a decent candidate once you get to round 5. I can tell you this, he's a very active safety.
Mm-hmm.
And he is also a very, and I don't mean he's out of control, but he's also a very verbal player out on the field. He encourages his teammates. He's got a high five for people. He is asking questions of the coaches. I saw him drop down and do some push-ups when he missed the interception in drills. And, you know, he gives a wahoo when he does something right. He's got the attitude, to my knowledge, and no problems, no baggage to speak of. That's the kind of attitude that I think the Packers would look at, and I am sure that he would upgrade some of the play on the special teams.
Just my brief thoughts here on the safety position. I don't see maybe anybody in this safety class perhaps being a first-round draft choice or a first-round talent. But I'll tell you what, I do think there is a glut of safeties that could go in rounds 2, 3, 4, 5 that are kind of almost indistinguishable. That, you know, if just being a Packers fan, I wouldn't mind the Packers taking Ha-ha Clinton Dix, Deion Buchanan, Ahmad Dixon, Craig Lawston, Trey Boston. I could go on and rattle about five more, and I don't see a whole lot of difference between these guys in those middle rounds.
Right, right. And I think I agree with you 100%, Brian. There's nobody elite. There may be a couple taken just because of need. Oh, yeah, and don't forget, throw in Ed Reynolds from Stanford.
Yeah, I'm missing a few. Kelvin Pryor, too.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Pryor's on a lot of people's watch very carefully list, including yours truly. And I saw the other day that Daniel Jeremiah, who works for NFL Network, and I think is a pretty sharp guy in scouting, he actually has Calvin Pryor in his top 30 players.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to your point. Yes, I think there are a reasonable number of legitimate candidates to make it in the NFL at the safety position. And again, you know, the Packers, they're making a lot of compensatory picks, because as we go on this spring talking about the Packers and their draft, I think what a lot of us are going to be saying a lot of the time is, A, because of the draft class itself, and B, because of the Packers' lack of depth, in my opinion, at quite a few positions, talented depth. I sure hope the Packers get three or four compensatory picks, because they're going to need about 10 or 12 drafted guys in addition to the undrafted free agents that they sign. They really need an infusion of young talent again onto that roster. And some other day we'll talk about their need to maybe this is the year that they need to sign another Pickett Woodson combo.
Yeah. We'll see. I do want to talk to you about the nose tackle position, Paul, for a few reasons. Number one, to talk about the kid from Wisconsin that's there, Bo Allen, who I really like as an underrated type of player. But also, of course, in free agency this year, B.J. Raji's a free agent, Ryan Pickett's a free agent, Johnny Chaley's a free agent. The Packers might need a nose tackle, and after Lewis Nixon, Notre Dame, who's going to go high, there's kind of a big gap between him and, I think, the next group of nose tackles. And there's a few guys at the Shrine game here. And I'll let you tell me which of these guys look to you as true nose tackles. Bo Allen, Justin Ellis of Louisiana Tech, Derek Hopkins of Virginia Tech, Zach Kerr of Delaware. Tell me about these guys and what they have in them.
I think it's a very good group. There's a couple of positions that I like better, and of course the landscape is changing day by day, because as agents advise their good players not to go to the Senior Bowl and they drop out, every day I'm reading three or four guys that we've been watching are headed to Mobile. I hope we have enough guys to play a game tomorrow night. But the defensive tackle / nose tackle, and in some cases it's hard to distinguish these guys right away, is a strong group down here. I personally like Justin Ellis, Bo Allen, and Derek Hopkins all from the West squad, and I think all three of them could and probably should play the nose at the NFL level. And I did talk to, you know me, I still like to talk to the Badger guys, even though I live in Florida now, and I did have a nice conversation with Bo Allen after the Monday afternoon practice, and he claimed that he actually did enjoy the switch from a 4-3 defensive tackle to a 3-4 nose tackle. He felt he learned a few things, and he feels like he's strong enough, big enough and strong enough to handle the double team blocking that the nose tackle gets most of the time. And this week, just to give you some numbers here again, in case people missed it, Bo Allen weighed 333 at 6'2.5". And, you know, he's going to be one of those cases where a team is going to have to decide, you know, none of these three guys is just power-packed muscle and no fat.
Yeah.
Forget it. You know, these guys are all a little bit sloppy, how about if I say it that way, in their body. But be that as it may, they're never going to trim down to the degree without losing some of what they offer. So you got Bo Allen at 333, And you got Justin Ellis from Louisiana Tech, who was 351. And he definitely needs to lose a little more weight, and he needs a lot of technique work. The kid from Louisiana Tech is raw.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Packers could get him really late, then maybe he's a good kind of pick because you can work with him. If he needs to play, if they need somebody that they want to play right away because Jolly and Raji aren't going to be with them, I think Justin Ellis is the least of the three West players. Derek Hopkins, 5'11" and 5'8", 321 pounds. And he has, Brian, you know, I stood behind him 2 feet away from him. And he is probably wider and thicker from the belly down through his butt and his thighs, bigger than B.J. Raji.
Hmm.
The kid is huge. And he's going to have to play nose tackle because he probably can't cover more than 3 yards in either direction of where he takes his stance, if you understand what I'm saying. You know, he's not quick.
Mm-hmm.
He's not fast. And he's not gonna pursue very far. Now, he hustles. I've watched lots of film on him. But he just can't get there most of the time. So he absolutely is nose tackle material. And I do think, I'm glad you mentioned him, because I was very impressed with Zachariah Kerr from Delaware on the East squad. And Kerr came in at 6'1 and 5'8 and 334 pounds.
Hmm.
He can move a little bit. I will be honest with you, and I will say, based on what I've seen the Packers look at and, you know, liking to have defensive linemen that are versatile, and the fact that Capers likes to have his eagle scheme out there with two defensive tackles lined up at that, I think the two with the most appeal to the Packers and their scheme would be Bo Allen and Zach Kerr from Delaware. They are nose tackles who I think can play some defensive tackle if you go to a two or a four man line for certain situations.
Yeah. I've seen that out of Bo Allen for years now at Wisconsin, and really think he's an underrated player on the team and a reason they had a pretty good defense this year. Speaking of teams with a good defense, there's a reason Louisville finished with like the second best defense in the nation, and they got a couple guys at the Shrine Game, safety Hakeem Smith and linebacker Xavius Boyd. Tell me about these guys a little bit.
Well, there's some good athletes. And in fact, on the East team, two of their three linebackers are from Western Kentucky are going to be starting in this game, and that's Andrew Jackson, the inside linebacker, who is probably their most consistent quality linebacker. He's a 6'5", 259-pound thumper. To me, Brian, he's not much interest to the Pack, I don't believe, because I think he is better suited for a 4-3 scheme and the traditional middle linebacker. Xavius Boyd, by the way, number 13, if some of your listeners are going to watch the Shrine game, Boyd is 6'1" and 3/8" and 236 pounds. He blew up as a player as a senior,
mm-hmm.
and led the team. I think he led the country in tackles for loss, led the team in sacks, and was all over the place. Louisville has Preston Brown, who, this was interesting to me as well. We always knew he was a thumper, but Preston Brown from Louisville came in at 6'1" and 262 pounds to play middle linebacker. And Louisville had Hakeem Smith, their safety. I look at him at 6 foot tall and 186 pounds, and I say Hakeem Smith from Louisville isn't going to play safety in the NFL.
Yeah, that's pretty light.
Yeah, other than, you know, he's not quite quick and fast enough to play corner. He's not big enough and stout enough to play safety. if he's gonna have a couple of cups of coffee in the NFL, and I think that's about all he's gonna get. Mm-hmm. But I could be wrong. Been wrong before, probably more than I'm right. He certainly could be a sub package player. He would give you better cover skills than a lot of safeties in a dime package, and if he can shine on special teams. So what am I saying? I guess I'm saying Hakeem Smith from Louisville might be a little bit more savvy, knowledgeable, experienced, better football player, but with the same kind of role position on a team as Jared Bush.
The Boyd kid, is he a 4-3 outside linebacker or a 3-4 outside linebacker?
I think the Boyd kid right now certainly is best suited for and can play best on the weak side in a 4-3 scheme. But I am not going to rule out that he couldn't fit in a 3-4 scheme because he's athletic enough. You know, he may not have the perfect size, but you know what, Brian, you know this, and I think we all see it. And if you look at some of Ted's draft picks, you can see even he has to bend his own rules a little bit. We're getting more and more every year, in my opinion, at a lot of positions when the draft rolls around. You look at kids who have been very productive and successful in college, and they don't fit the exact NFL stereotype size. You know, the receivers are too small. The linebackers aren't quite as tall. You can go on and on. But the point is, they are what's coming out. They are successful and productive. And I think you have to look at it, and just more and more than ever, you look at your coaching staff, and the scouts need to be talking to them. And the conversation is, okay, I know you'd like me to give you a name of a outside linebacker for Green Bay that's 6'3", 340 pounds.
No.
I don't have any. What could you guys do with this kid who's 6'1.5", 243, but faster than you'd expect from the guy you just described?
Yeah.
I think teams are going to have to do much more of this mixing and matching, and then you need a deep roster, because you're going to get into more and more sub-packages.
Yeah, and in the late rounds, that isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
I think coming into the game, Paul, people expected the best quarterback at the Shrine game to be Jimmy Garoppolo of Eastern Illinois, and from the reports I've seen, Jeff Matthews of Cornell has kind of taken people by surprise. Your impressions of these two?
Yeah, I think your analysis of what people were expecting is absolutely correct, at least, you know, media-wise. I'm not sure that the scouts were that sold.
Mm-hmm.
And Garoppolo has not looked bad, but without a doubt, I would have to agree that Matthews is the best-looking overall quarterback down here. By the way, I'm going to try to get it to you for chuckle's sake. Got a shot of him the other day with his helmet off. Showed it to my daughter, and her comment was, I thought this was a college all-star game. This kid looks like junior high school. You talk about a baby face, but on a man's body. You know, he's a solid 6'3", weighs about 225 pounds, definitely has a good arm. Problem, actually, Brian, let me backtrack. The problem was he had a disappointing season at Cornell as a senior. And some of that was, I watched some tape, some of it was, he didn't have much of an offensive line.
Okay.
And the kid has mobility, but as we all know, you can only do so much. At some point, when it just becomes a fire escape every snap, even the most mobile quarterback gets overwhelmed at times. But he has shown a good arm. He seems to be a smart kid, which shouldn't be a surprise, Ivy League school. And I would say the two things that I saw this week that he'd have to work on, and these seem very logical to me, of a kid coming out of an Ivy League program, he's a little bit slow to read his progressions, tends to stare down the receiver if he's got a preconceived notion of who should be open and where he wants to go, and he's a little bit hesitant to try to squeeze the ball in to the smaller kind of opening that you see at these games with top cornerbacks and he's going to see in the NFL. You know, he's used to wide open guys in the Ivy League.
Yep.
If they can just protect him for 3 seconds, he's going to find somebody wide open. And he's not seeing that this week. But the potential is there. He looks better than, let's make a comparison. He looks a lot better down here than a guy named B.J. Coleman did 3 years ago down here. Okay?
Okay.
So put it in perspective. I think the other kid that has impressed me, let's go to the other team. And I think he's the kind of guy that I think he's going to be drafted, but I don't think he's impressive enough yet. He's going to get into the top 3 or 4 rounds, so it might be something where if Ted is going to go back to the Ron Wolf school of get yourself a quarterback in the 4th, 5th, or 6th round every year, unless you're desperate. Keith Lenning from Ball State is without a doubt the best quarterback on the West squad, which means that he's head and shoulders above Tommy Reese of Notre Dame, no surprise, and Keith Price of Washington. And Lenning is a little bit, is about 6'2.5", 219 pounds. He can move in the pocket. He's got the best arm. He throws, in fact, I would say at this point, he shows better throwing mechanics and a longer ball than even Matthews down here.
Interesting.
So if I were picking, I'd say it's close. But again, Garoppolo looks good to okay. He'll get drafted, I think.
Okay. Paul, can you do me some rapid fire here? I know it's tough for you to be short-winded on these guys, but give me 30 seconds on these guys. Gabe, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Eichard of Oklahoma. Why the heck isn't this guy in the Senior Bowl? I want to know that.
Well, he's going to be. It was just tweeted yesterday at the Senior Bowl, but hopefully he'll play in this game before he leaves, as I said before. Undersized. That's the biggest deal with Gabe Eichard. And to his credit, he came into this game and he's 6'3", 304. He weighed about 285 most of his career at Oklahoma. And that's just not going to cut it. Now, he still looks overmatched against, you know, when he's out there against Ellis and Allen and Hopkins, he's still a little bit overpowered. But if he's really 300 or a little bit more, he's a good center prospect, really smart kid, going to call you. He'll call the line plays, blocking schemes as a rookie if you have to put him in there.
Good to hear that he's getting the chance to go to the Senior Bowl, because I thought he was a good player at Oklahoma. Pierre Desir, the cornerback from Lindenwood, one of these small school guys who seems to have made a name for himself.
Yeah. He came in highly ranked, at least relative to being a small school guy. He's got nice size, not great size, not as big as we thought he was going to be. But he came in at 6'7", 8", so 6'1", 197. He's athletic. He's smooth. He's, you know, you have to play him too soon. He's probably going to burn you, needless to say, because he'll get burned by wide receivers in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But I see long-term, he's a starting NFL cornerback in a couple of years.
Gotcha. Matt Hazel, the wide receiver from Coastal Carolina, again, another small school guy who's seems to have stood out this week, at least in the media.
Really like Matt Hazel. I liked him coming in here, and I liked him primarily, Brian, because I saw some tape of a couple of his games, and the first thing that stuck out to me is he really blocks like a son of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And in the NFL, that's a big deal, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to block if you're going to play wide receiver. Long, lean, good hands, good technique coming from a small school. He probably, as much as anybody down at this game, improved the most day to day. I expect him to do some damage in the game. He's only 6'1", 196, but he looks taller than that. He looks longer than that. I didn't get arm length, which I would like to see on Matt Hazel.
Finally, before I let you go, Paul, tell me, who is the best player at this game? Who's going to be drafted highest from the guys who played at the Shrine game?
Assuming that there is no startling revelation that scares people to death, I think Max Bulla is the best prospect here.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next couple that are going to surprise people, Rajon Neal, the running back from Tennessee, 5'11", 211 pounds, just incredible quickness. I actually put his name in the same sentence 2 days ago as Arian Foster. And I think beyond that, I think some of these linemen are going to, as always happens, are going to show well. A sleeper to watch there is Dakota Dozier from Furman University. And the great thing about Dakota was he looks to be in great shape and totally fit. And he was listed at 290 pounds. He weighed in here at 312 and still looked like he was in shape.
That's impressive, no doubt about it.
Yeah, but, you know, those are some of the things you look for down here. You know, who looks fat, who looks in shape, who's got, you know, good weight on their bones, and he definitely. And Ryan Groy is just a delightful. Both Wisconsin kids are delightful kids. And by the way, they did not badmouth Brett Bielema, but they are. They wish that they could play another year or two under the Anderson regime. They are really impressed.
Yeah, that he's definitely a good guy, a player's coach. I think there's no doubt about that. Now he's just got to get some of those X's and O's down and not get beat by the Urban Meyers of the world now in the Big Ten. But, Paul, thank you so much for joining us here on a Friday morning, talk a little Shrine game. Now you'll be back with us next Friday for a Senior Bowl recap, very similar to this week.
Absolutely, and we'll hope that we have some premier players still there whose agents haven't pulled them out of the game.
Yeah, as A.J. McCarron doesn't even play in the game, and he's from Mobile, Alabama.
Don't even go there. I can't tell you how badly, he must be getting his advice from his mother, who's absolutely a loose cannon.
Or his girlfriend.
And I cleaned that one up, by the way.
Anyway, we kid. Paul, thanks so much for joining us. Take care, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me, and stay warm. Oh, no, stay classy, Wisconsin. That's the thing right now, right? Stay warm and classy, Wisconsin. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, see you, Paul. Pigskin Paul Guillemette of pigskinpaul.com. He's he's one of our analysts for our annual Pro Football Draft Preview draft guide that we'll be putting together in, the course of the next couple months here. Usually comes out end of March, early in April. We don't have a publication date for it yet, but it's literally right around the 1st of April, maybe a few days before or after every year that we put that out. And there will be even more time to digest it this year with the NFL draft not taking place till May. Good to talk to Paul. Very interesting stuff, I think, on Max Bulla specifically with, I mean, this was no secret here that several people observed Ted Thompson, Packers general manager Ted Thompson, speaking to Max Bulla at the East-West Shrine game. And this is out of character for Ted Thompson, a guy who conducts his business behind closed doors, to go out and reach out to Max Bulla, the guy who's been suspended for the Rose Bowl, and being very secretive about his suspension, which is really weird. At some point, this is going to come out. And, you know, my suggestion is to Max Bulla to be forthcoming about it and get it out of the way. The sooner you get it out of the way, the sooner people, you know, forget about it to an extent. Not that it's going to be forgotten about totally until the time of the NFL draft, but, as we say here, that's interesting also that Paul Guillemette thinks that Max Bulla is the best prospect at the Shrine game this week, perhaps going as high as he said. Packers had to be have to be interested in him, maybe as high as the third round. And I do think I that scares me a little bit with that weight gain. 265, that's freaking big for an inside linebacker, and I'm afraid he's going to slow down like AJ Hawk at the NFL. But I mean, if the Packers don't get C.J. Mosley, he is the one surefire first-rounder at inside linebacker in this year's draft class. After him, there is a drop-off to guys like Max Bulla, Shane Scove, Chris Borland of Wisconsin. You know, those guys are potential day two draft choices, but I just think, you know, you get C.J. Mosley, who's really good and a starter immediately, or these guys who maybe do have a little bit of things that you worry about, like with Bulla with being too big, with Chris Borland maybe being too small. Kind of same thing for Shane Scove, too. He's really big and really tough and a mean hombre, but perhaps is he too slow and big for the pro game as well? These guys can overcome that, but, you know, C.J. Mosley, I think, is the entire package. Anyway, well, looking forward to next Friday. Thanks for joining us here all week. It was a great week here at Cheesehead TV. We talked to Andrew Garda of the Pro Football Writers of America on Wednesday about the Rookie of the Year voting. Talked to Paul Guillemette on Friday here about the Shrine game and NFL draft prospects and all that. So really good week of some football talk here. And hopefully, we'll definitely have Paul Guillemette next Friday. Hopefully I can get some other good guests next week as well. So that'll do it for this week, folks. Have a good weekend, everyone. We'll be back on Monday, as we are, 8:30 a.m. Central Time every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm Brian Kirivu. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, we'll see you later, folks. Have a good weekend. I leave you with a song called Ace in the Hole by The Radiators on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.